The bright red and green of holly brings a festive splash of color to our winter celebrations. This hour, growing holly in Iowa and holiday gift ideas for gardeners. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and this is our last Horticulture Day of 2017. Hort Day will be back on the air every other week starting January 5th and return weekly again in March. Today, I'll talk with horticulturist Richard Giron of Iowa State University Extension and Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. We'll get some guidance on growing holly, and we'll get some gift ideas for gardeners. We also want to hear your ideas and questions. Join the conversation after the news.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is our final Horticulture Day of 2017. We will be back with Hort Day on Friday, January 5th. We'll go every other week until March. Today, we're going to share some great gift ideas for gardeners. We want to hear your ideas, the things that are on your wish list or your favorite gifts you've received in the past. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. But we're going to start our conversation with a plant that is everywhere this time of year, at least in imagery. Holly. We love it for its bright red and green. It's also symbolic for many Christians. And with us to talk about holly is Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. Hello, Cindy.
Good morning.
Richard Giron is also here, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. Hello, Richard.
Good morning.
So, Cindy, let's start off talking about holly. This is something that obviously we love to see this time of year, the bright green leaves, that shiny texture and the bright red berries, something that's so beautiful to see. Why is it so omnipresent?
It's the red and green color, so that's kind of associated with Christmas. And it's so present because this is when that plant typically shows off. It's right around that winter time, and it has those bright red berries. You know, the birds take them. So it's been a part of our kind of a Christmas tradition since Roman times, I believe.
And it does have some heavy symbolism for Christians being like the crown of thorns is the idea, right?
Yes, I think that's part of the idea that I think it was also, and Richard can kind of chime in here too, it was part of a pagan kind of ceremony
initially. Used to honor Saturn, the god Saturn, and that occurred basically during the winter solstice.
Right.
And so when the Christians, they simply continued to use it, but used it more in a Christian context.
Right. Changed the meaning. Right. Many of our holiday symbols have traveled that path.
Right. To more of that kind of crown of thorns. So it's been with us for a while, and I think it's just a great holiday plant for the Christmas season.
Right. And it is stunningly beautiful. Mm-hmm. And this seems like a weird time of year for a plant to show off.
But it's a nice time of year for this plant to show off, like I said, because it provides some food for wildlife.
So a lot of people want to grow holly in Iowa. Mm-hmm. How does it do?
Well, the one that we see as far as decorations, the really shiny green leaf one, doesn't do well in Iowa. This is a English holly, usually. It's grown in the Pacific Northwest. It's Ilex aquifolium. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful, but it needs a slightly more protected environment. So not usually hardy enough for Iowa. The native holly that we have, called American holly, which is Ilex opaca, is also beautiful, has nice bright red berries, but it doesn't have that really shiny green leaf. It's a zone 6 hardy plant, so we're just a little bit outside of where it will do well reliably. So we're left with a couple of other nice options. One is the Meserve hollies, which do have that kind of English holly dark green leaf and shiny leaf and nice bright red berries, and they're hardy into Canada. So hardiness is not an issue. And then we also have another holly that's a deciduous holly called Winterberry that loses its leaves and then just shows you the berries, which is absolutely beautiful as well. And both of those do very well in Iowa if you've got that kind of full sun location. Winterberry actually likes it a little moist. So
and
kind of fun.
All right. And so even without the green leaves, that, mm-hmm. that red can be really stunning this time of year.
Well, and it, like I said, you really see the red berries because there's nothing else getting in the way. So using it for decorations, for garlands or for containers or, you know, any kind of centerpieces, it's stunning, but it doesn't have that green leaf. So sometimes you don't associate it as a holly.
So if you do grow that, what does it look like the rest of the year?
Basically just a green shrub.
Yeah.
Winterberry actually is native to small areas in northeast Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And it's typically found kind of in moist to wet sites. But it's basically just a green shrub. And then in the fall when they shed their leaves, you see all of those fruit. An important thing about the hollies is they're dioecious.
Yeah.
Which means you have male plants, which produce pollen, and female plants that produce the fruit. So you have to have one of each, at least. And typically in the landscape, you can plant one male, and they'll pollinate several females. But you have to have that one male plant.
Right. Right. And so and then we grow hollies for the berries, so you want to make sure you have them both. And that winterberry, it's not much to look at during the summer. It's just a nice green shrub. It really shows off this time of year.
All right. So this has to be your priority.
Yes. you have to think about, I want something to look at in fall and winter. So I'm going to put this winterberry, you know, with an evergreen backdrop or next to something that makes it really show off.
But the Meserve hollies, they're green basically year round.
They're evergreen.
Mm-hmm. And they're kind of a dark bluish green. And typically when you buy these or go to the nursery, they have very distinctive names like mm-hmm. Blue Boy, Blue Girl.
Or China Boy.
China Boy, China Girl. So you know exactly what you're getting. And so just make sure you have one male. You can just kind of put it nearby.
Tuck it in the back.
Tuck it in the back. And then have several females.
All right. And it's reliable when you buy them, that because obviously this is a high priority for people who buy any kind of these holly derivatives. They want the color. So mm-hmm. you can reliably know that you're getting a male plant or a female plant.
Right. Right. If you go to a garden center, right. And as far as the Meserve hybrids, they tend to do better in a sheltered location, not in a open exposed site. So maybe near the house, maybe on the east side of a house where they have some shelter. But there are shrubs. They can get to be 5 to 10 feet tall, depending on the variety or cultivar. But they're very dependable.
All right. Well, we have a question already on holly from Michael in Des Moines. He said he bought a house in Des Moines last summer, has room to plant a couple of bushes in front, and loves the look of holly, especially in the winter with mm-hmm. the red and green combination. Would love to plant a couple of bushes, but knows that holly doesn't do well in Iowa. But he's also seen it for sale at garden centers. Mm-hmm. And a worker at one center near Des Moines this fall told him that holly can do well in the area. So is this something you need to be really careful about if people are selling holly that may not be resistant to our cold?
I think most people or garden centers, when they're selling holly, they're probably that Meserve holly
okay.
because it has that look. And it is certainly hardy. We just want to protect it a little bit from the winter wind because it is a broadleaf evergreen, and it'll dry out if it's super windy in that particular location.
Yeah, you're not gonna find the American holly Mm-mm. or the English holly. You're not gonna find that in Iowa, regardless of where you go. So that shouldn't be an issue.
All right. And so if you're thinking about the Meserve holly, you want to pick a sheltered location, like the south side of a house might work?
East side would be terrific.
East side, okay.
Morning sun has some shelter there from the north wind. That would typically be good. The south should be okay, but a very open exposed site would not be very good.
All right. So this is something that people can pursue. You can find
right.
a way to bring that color into
yes.
your landscape.
And then you can take little clippings of the in the fall and mm-hmm. use it for decorations, because these are not small shrubs. They do get, you know, 5 feet or bigger, so there's plenty there that you can use for decoration.
Now, I think I recall seeing holly that is not winter hardy here sold as a houseplant. Have you seen that?
Occasionally you'll see that, right. Some of the online or mail order catalogs mm-hmm. will have maybe miniature Christmas trees or maybe little miniature holly plants. They typically will be okay maybe for a short time indoors, but they're not a long-term plant. They're really not a very good house plant, and they typically wouldn't be hardy outside either. So you kind of buy them, you enjoy them indoors for a few weeks, and then they're probably going to slowly decline.
Yeah, holly's a huge genus, and there are, you know, we've talked about three or four species. There are, you know, 20 or 30 that do well in different parts of the United States. So it's really kind of cool to see the variability, because not all of them have those spiny leaves. But yeah, most don't do well outside in Iowa, except for that Meserve or that Winterberry.
All right. And it's funny, though, when you talk about seeing holly without the spiny leaves, mm-hmm. then that steps away from what people are looking for when they're looking for holly, right?
Right. It does. I grew up with a holly called Yaupon holly. In Louisiana. So it had this teeny tiny little leaf. It was evergreen, but it wasn't spiny, and it had tons of berries on the stems, but it just doesn't look like a holly because it doesn't have that thick, spiny, dark green leaf.
All right. So maybe beautiful, but mm-hmm. you have to change your idea a little bit.
Holly encompasses a lot.
All right. We've been talking about holly. We're also going to talk about gift ideas for gardeners this holiday season and, of course, answer your questions. You can give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me today, Cindy Haynes and Richard Giron from Iowa State University. And I have collected lists from some of our regular mm-hmm. Hort Day guests with some of their holiday gift ideas. But Cindy, do you have a suggestion you want to start us off with before we get to the break?
One of the things that I like for gift ideas for gardeners are just different gardening ornaments. You can buy ornaments with pine cones on them or decorate pine cones and put on your tree. And I just found a little glass greenhouse ornament or terrarium ornament. So I love garden ornaments.
Nice.
And pretty inexpensive.
How about you, Richard?
Garden tools, like a pruning shears, one of those hori-hori or garden knives are very nice. So that type of thing. And when you buy a shears or a trowel, buy a good quality set, not a discount store type thing, because they'll last forever.
All right. Well, we'll take a short break. We'll come back. We'll talk more about gardening gift ideas. And we also, of course, will answer your questions about the plants and trees in your life. Join us. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Richard Giron, Iowa State University Horticulture Specialist with Extension, and Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. With me, Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, and Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. They are here to answer your questions at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We've also collected some gift ideas for gardeners that we'll be sharing throughout the hour. And we want to hear your suggestions, too. If you're a gardener, what's the best gift you've ever received? Or what's on your wish list this year? 866-780-9100 is the number. Marcia is on the line in Davenport. Hi, Marcia.
Hi. Well, I know you were probably done with holly, but it took me a while to find the phone number. I have three holly bushes in the front of my house. This is in Davenport. And They all three have berries.
Excellent.
And I just thought they were, the one that was the male wasn't supposed to have berries.
Well, sometimes the Meserve hollies are sold together in something called a Berry Magic Kids mix. So in that pot that you purchased, it might have had a piece of a male or a small male plant actually tucked in. So I have seen that as well. So you might want to investigate a little further and look and see if there's one portion of this kind of shrub that isn't producing a berry, and that's probably your male, and that's enough. So obviously there's a male nearby if you've got berries. So don't knock it.
Yeah.
There's one somewhere.
No, I'm glad. But, you know, I planted these like 20 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I bought three separate plants at a nursery.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were English ivy, or English holly, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. How would I be able to tell at this point?
Well, if they've survived 20 years in Iowa, they're probably not an English holly. The Meserve hybrids,
yeah.
I do think, though, have an English holly as a parent. So, or some way kind of goes back to that. Because they have a little bit of that English holly look to them. But it's most likely, 90% sure I know that this is a Meserve hybrid. Because they're tough and they're beautiful.
And they've been around for quite some time.
And they have been around for a while.
Oh, well, mine aren't really beautiful. They're they never grew very big. And the one that's closest to the sun did poorly. And they're a little leggy. But I really like them anyway. They're shiny green leaves with the points and the red berries. I just wondered, I wish I could remember the name of the species. I know it was like boy and girl, but it wasn't blue.
Was it China Boy and China Girl?
No, it wasn't China either.
Because that was one of the first ones I remember.
Our Blue Prince and Blue
Princess.
Yeah,
is another one.
Yeah. It might be. I'll have to go back to the nursery and see if they still sell them.
So do you use them in decorating, Marcia, or do you just enjoy them outside?
I just enjoy them outside because they've never grown big enough and lush enough that I feel like taking anything off of them. But that's fine. Mm-hmm. I like to have things out in front that have color in the winter. I'm working with those red stick and yellow stick.
Red twig dogwoods. The dogwoods?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now to add to the color. And so anyway, I just thought, so you don't think there really is any possibility that I've been with had an English ivy all this time, huh?
No, they're just not that hardy. They would not survive 20 below zero in Iowa. They would not.
Even in Davenport, and that's a little bit warmer than maybe other parts of Iowa. And you can do a little you can do a little tip pruning on them maybe this spring, March or April, and maybe they'll fill in just a little bit more for you.
Yeah, I try to do that. Well, I'm disillusioned, but anyway, it's all right.
I think you can enjoy them no matter what. So, but
all right,
why?
Thank you.
Yeah, Marcia, thanks for your call. Why would the holly bushes that are not in the sun do better than the ones that are in the sun? That seems strange.
Well, I would say they like partial sun. The hot afternoon sun might be a little bit more intense for them, especially if they don't have a good water supply. So I think if they're on the east side where it tends to be a little bit cooler, they still get plenty of sun, maybe a little bit more moist, they would do fine. But maybe on the south, they might get a little bit too hot, maybe a little bit too dry.
All right. You can join our conversation with your questions. We'll take holly questions all hour if you've got them.
Awesome.
866-780-9100. But, of course, you can ask questions about any of the plants or trees in your life. And we want to hear your gift suggestions as well. And Doug is on the line in Ames with some gift ideas. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Charity. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
So I just want to share one thing that I've never seen in Iowa. It's a Western-derived garden tool called the Hoe Dog, but it's spelled H-O-E-D-A-G. And if you're familiar with what a Pulaski is, what they fight forest fires with, this is a hand-sized version of that with two sharpened edges.
Oh.
And I've had one for 15 years, and it's like the day it was brand new, and I don't ever pick up a trowel, a hori-hori, very rarely a planting spade. This thing's fantastic.
It's always amazing that we all have our individual tools that we really, really love, and that's the one our go-to tool. And I haven't heard of this one. It's one to check out.
It looks kind of like an ice pick. Is that?
It's like an ice pick. If an ice pick and a hoe had a love child, because it's two-sided. So on one side, it's got a wide blade that's sharpened, and on the other side, it's got a real skinny blade like an ice axe. And you can sharpen them as sharp as you want or leave them dull, but you can divide hostas with them. And it's got a 14-inch handle, so for older people, it gives you a lot of leverage.
Right.
Where maybe, you know, people with some mobility problems or some strength issues, like I said, it's just a phenomenal tool.
All right. Well, a great unusual suggestion. And you're calling it the Hoe Dog. It's H-O-E-D-A-G.
The Hoe Dog, and it's made in Idaho somewhere, 100% U.S. made. Remember that.
All right, Doug. Thanks a lot for the
call. Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, happy holidays. 866-780-9100 is the number. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Looking for your holiday gift suggestions or your questions about the plants and trees in your life. And you were just saying earlier that, Richard, that a really good quality garden mm-hmm. tool is something that's incredibly valuable. Aaron Style from Ryman Gardens also sent us his suggestions. He said a soil knife. Mm-hmm. Most gardeners don't even know how much they'll love this tool until someone gets one for them.
Right.
And that's another name for hori hori knife. A soil knife, hori hori knife, garden knife. But you can dig with them. You can saw with them because they have a sharp blade. Oftentimes they have inches on it so that you can measure the depth, and it's a very, very useful tool. I use it all the time.
All right. And buying a really high quality one, I mean, that's something that a lot of gardeners won't do for themselves, but...
but it really pays. I mean, you can buy something at a discount store and they're kind of flimsy, and they'll usually break maybe in a year or two if you use them. But if you buy something that's really solid, you can have it for 20, 25, 30 years. So.
All right. Another one of the tool ideas that Aaron had is a spring-loaded needle nose plier set. He said, it sounds weird, but they're awesome for grabbing and pulling volunteer yeah. weedy trees like mulberry saplings and other woody weeds. Do you guys have other favorite tools that we might not think about getting?
I have a little weeder that's kind of a diamond shape that I love a lot because it's, you know, sharp on four different edges now, and it's small, and it gets in between those little plants. I love that one. And I also have a pair of really good pruners that are expensive that I absolutely love, and I can sharpen the blades or buy new blades for them. And I try not to go anywhere without those pruners, actually.
And a lopping shears,
mm-hmm.
when it's a little bit bigger than maybe for a pruning shears, and you want to make a nice clean cut, or if you have, for example, you're pruning raspberries and you have to reach in and you're dealing with thorny objects, so those lopping shears are very nice to have.
And we usually get, gardeners usually like the bypass pruners, not the anvil pruners. They're a little more expensive, but they make a much cleaner cut, and it's usually easier to garden with them.
All right. So some good ideas for tools. We've got a question on the line from Irvin in Oskaloosa at 866-780-9100. Hi, Irvin.
Hi. I got a question for Richard about the oak trees. Are we late enough in season? Has it been cold enough that we could do some pruning yet?
Yeah, you can prune. You should be fine. If you can do it, for example, maybe this weekend. But you have basically December, January, February, and possibly early March if it's still cold. So any time in the next few weeks would be fine.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know whether we'd gone far enough through the season since it's been rather warm. I know the leaves are all off. I've got a pin oak that needs trimmed up pretty good, and so
yeah.
I just wonder if I was late enough. Okay, that sounds great.
Yeah, the insect responsible for oak wilt has basically... is no longer active, and so that should not be an issue at this point.
And it's a great weekend to get out and do
yes.
that kind
yes.
of stuff. If you have free time this time of year, which is rare, it's going to be a lovely Saturday.
It's not snowing. It's not windy. And
it's
Saturday,
above freezing.
Saturday sounds terrific.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 866-780-9100 is the number to call with your questions. Here, I'll get through the rest of Aaron's list. He suggests a garden journal as a great gift idea. Of course, a gift certificate for a favorite nursery, whether online or in your bricks and mortar location. He also suggested garden art, which kind of goes along with the with the ornaments you were talking about, Cindy, but garden art is a nice idea because, of course, it brings some of that beauty that you work so hard for in the summer and fall and spring into your living space, especially for the winter months. That can be lovely.
It can be. And sometimes I use garden art outside in those places where the plant died. So it takes up, you know, a space, an open space for a temporary time.
Well, sure. And I think I was thinking too narrowly about my definition of garden art.
Garden art can be, trust me, anything and everything and can work as garden art.
All right. And he also, this is a suggestion we talk about every year, but it's a good one, a certificate for mulch or compost to be delivered in the spring.
Compost is my favorite. A dump truck load of compost, you will not believe how happy that will make a gardener.
Nice. All right. 866-780-9100 is the number to call with your questions or with your gift suggestions. Chris is on the line in West Des Moines. Hi, Chris. Chris, are you there?
Yes.
Hi. What's your question?
I have two 30-year-old ash trees, and it seems like where my dog goes out and urinates all the time on one, the bark's disintegrating. Flaked off.
Okay.
And if it's really due to the dog or if it's something else that's causing it.
I think it may be due to something else. The actual bark is dead tissue. It protects the tissue beneath it. And if it's a 30-year-old tree, that bark layer should be pretty thick. And so
yeah, it is.
So I'm guessing that urine really isn't damaging the bark itself, but maybe something has damaged the tissue beneath the bark, the cambium, and if it has, then that tissue dies, and then the bark eventually falls off. So maybe something has occurred in the past, but I don't think it's directly due to the urine.
Should I cover up the bark's missing now. Should I, spray it with something to protect that area, or?
You really can't do much. You could go out. And if the bark is extremely loose, you can very carefully remove it. But I wouldn't want to yank on it. If it doesn't want to come off, just leave it. But if it is very loose, if it comes off very easily, I might go out there and very carefully remove it, kind of expose the area so it can kind of dry out. But painting it or doing something of that nature is not going to do any good.
And also, is it too late to trim an ash tree?
No, you can basically prune most trees anytime during the year. The worst times to prune basically are in the spring as the trees are leafing out and in the fall as they're shedding their foliage. So basically almost any time during the year except for the oaks, which we prune in the winter.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And
appreciate
the dog
it.
Is off the hook.
Dog is off the hook.
He loves that tree. That's the first thing he hits.
And he can keep doing it. All right.
Okay.
Chris, thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. We got a gift suggestion on the line from Jean in Solon. Hi, Jean.
Hi. Why wouldn't you have a female dog?
That would solve the problem.
It would. Then just tell her to go this side of the sidewalk and not on the sidewalk. Anyway, a gift suggestion, it makes precise weeding so much easier, especially for seriously well-established weeds. It is a tool that is about 15 or so inches long with a wooden handle, a metal piece going straight out, and a right angle piece going off of that that is sharp and undercuts very precisely whatever weed you wish to undercut. It is made in both left-hand and right-hand models, and you can't turn it around to use it in the other hand. So if you're giving a gift, it's nice to know what hand the individual is.
Oh, and for those lefties, they really like those tools that are made and designed specifically for them.
Yes, and I did find it for a left-handed. I'm fortunately right-handed and actually inherited one from my father, so it's been around for a heck of a long time, although I'd not seen it in stores until about 6-7 years ago, I guess. Wow. So,
good idea.
Hope people will enjoy that.
Yeah, great. Thanks for the great suggestion, Jean.
You're welcome.
Happy holidays to you. And I'll share, before we get to the break, I'll share another gift idea. This one's from Master Gardener Coordinator Denny Schrock. He says, I'll suggest the gift of travel.
Yes.
While it may not be in the budget to spring for a European garden tour junket, although that would be an awfully good present, wouldn't it? Most people might be able to purchase a membership to a local botanical garden. Many of them are members of American Horticultural Society's reciprocal membership program, so that when traveling anywhere in the United States, you may be able to get free entry into other participating member gardens.
That's a great idea, because you get nothing but garden ideas when you travel.
Absolutely. Well, and it might change the focus of your travel, or at least give you an idea. Oh, hey, we're going to this location. We should also look for a local garden.
I think that's a great one.
All right. We are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. Your questions, your gardening gift ideas, we'd love to hear from you. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me, Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, and Richard Giron, ISU Extension Horticulture Specialist. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and we are taking your questions and your gift ideas, holiday gifts for gardeners this hour. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Cindy Haynes is here, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. Richard Giron, Iowa State University Horticulture Specialist, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. And let's get back to the phones. Next up, we have Sharon on the line in Marshalltown. Hi, Sharon. Sharon, are you there? All right, we seem to have lost Sharon. Her question, though, I'll ask it for her. Last spring, she pruned a peach tree, and it never flowered.
Uh-oh.
Should it flower next spring?
Well, I don't think the pruning had anything to do with that. The key with the peaches is they're not very hardy. And oftentimes what happens is that if temperatures drop below minus 15 degrees Fahrenheit, the flower buds may be destroyed. So the flower buds actually are forming in late summer. They're present during the winter. If it gets extremely cold, it destroys the flower buds. They don't bloom.
All right. Here's another phone call. This is Luann in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Luann.
Hi. For people that are shut in or like in nursing homes and that, amaryllis bulbs are really nice because they can watch them grow and bloom and give them something to look forward to, or even like the paper whites and that are just really, you know, something that gives them in January and February.
Absolutely.
To look forward to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lovely idea, Luann.
And those are beautiful blooms too, very bright and cheery.
Right. So, okay, that was my idea.
Thanks a lot
Great
for
one.
Your call. I also think those are just a fabulous gift idea for children.
Mm-hmm.
Kids just love to watch them grow. It's so rewarding because they grow so fast, and then you get the big bloom payoff at the end.
I know. I gave one to Jackson to give to his teacher this year. I hope it made it.
was that today? You sent that off to school
no,
today?
No, it was a couple of weeks ago when it was still kind of warm. But yeah, I haven't heard, so I'm not sure. I don't know where it is. It's somewhere between the entry of the school and the classroom.
I'm sure it made it. What grade is Jackson in now?
Fourth grade.
Oh, yes. Very responsible young man, I'm sure.
866-780-9100
is the number to call with your question or your gift suggestions. Here's a question from Michelle by email, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I have a young apple tree planted 18 months ago. We've had such a dry fall. Should I water it before the ground freezes hard, or is it dormant for winter?
I think anything planted in the last year or two, I might consider watering because it has been extremely dry recently. The ground is still not frozen, especially evergreens that retain their foliage throughout the winter. I would definitely water those, but even a small apple tree like that, I think I would. It's not going to hurt anything. Mm-mm. Just go out there and soak it nice and deep, and I think it would be beneficial.
All right. And here's a question from Brian in Des Moines. Is it too late to plant daffodil and tulip bulbs?
Nope. You're lucky.
Very, very
You're very lucky.
Lucky
because the ground is not frozen, and so you still can.
All right. This is the only year.
This would be a great weekend to do it.
Absolutely. I've planted them while it's actually snowing before, so this will be much more pleasant.
The only problem might be it's going to be probably pretty dry, the soil, so it may be kind of hard to work. So.
Right. All right. Mary is on the line in Iowa City. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Thank you so much for your show. It's just such a delight.
Oh, thanks.
I have two questions, actually. One is I'm on the ravine. I am looking for an idea for hopefully evergreen shrubs that would maybe top out at, you know, maybe not more than 12 feet. I'd like to have native. They're going to go sort of around the deck, which faces southwest. And I was just wondering, I guess I'm sort of jumping the gun here. I'm thinking about what I can plant in the spring, but what do you have any suggestions?
What kind of light exposure, sun, shade?
Southwest, and it's pretty sunny in the afternoon.
Okay. I think your best
bet... It's a little bit shaded. There's some lilacs, but it's pretty sunny.
I think your best bet would be arborvitae.
Okay.
They're columnar-type plants. They're evergreens. They're very, very common.
Yep.
Some are very columnar, very, very narrow, where they might be maybe just 3 feet in diameter. On the other half, you have a variety called techne, which is very, very common. It grows to be 10 to 12 feet tall and about 10 feet wide.
Perfect.
So it's much broader, much wider.
Okay,
so you can buy these cones or more broad type arborvitae.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then my other question is, since it's going to be such a nice weekend, I thought I would lop some, I think it's honeysuckle, mm-hmm. That is trying to take over my ravine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, what kind of lopping tool should I purchase for that? And also for Tree of Heaven, that are like too big around for me to use just my hand pruners.
Yeah,
so kind of pulpy stem type tool.
So lopping shears would work. So it looks like a pruner's with a longer handle. They'll handle, you know, 2 or 3 inch diameter stuff pretty well.
Probably 2 inches would be maximum.
Yeah. And then.
Yeah, that's been my experience.
Yeah. Then you're looking at a saw, maybe a hand saw. And there's some nice folding hand saws, which really last a long time. And if it's not too big, it won't take that long to saw through.
It's good exercise.
Yes, great exercise.
Okay.
Great idea. Get some exercise this weekend.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Mary.
Thank you so much. Have a great holiday.
You too. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Jenny is up next in Gowrie. Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
Okay, so I have a north side building, the north side apartment of my building, so I don't get a whole lot of direct sunlight. Now, I can find a lot of green plants, mm-hmm. but is there anything flowering?
For indoors or?
For indoor that doesn't get a whole, like everything calls for direct sunlight. Well, I don't get direct sunlight, but I want something with color instead of just green.
Yeah, African violet would be a houseplant that would bloom indoors and doesn't need a lot of direct sunlight. The amaryllis was mentioned already as well, which makes a pretty good houseplant.
I was thinking peace lily.
Peace lily's another one that blooms.
I do have one of those, and it's been like 4 years, and I haven't seen a flower yet.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Okay.
You could also think about an orchid.
Right,
like
orchid.
Like a moth orchid.
They just need to be near the window where they get bright light. They don't need direct sun, but if they're near the window, they're okay. Also, maybe a holiday cactus, because all they need, again, is bright light. They don't need direct sunlight, and they bloom basically in the wintertime.
And if you're worried that it's not even getting enough light, maybe from your window, the African violet and maybe even the holiday cactus can be under supplemental lights, like a fluorescent tube.
I'm not looking to buy a light.
Okay.
Buy a light for a plant. I'm not that high maintenance. I want something to... the Christmas cactus, I've had one of those before and it didn't do very well. But then I learned afterward that my roommate had a cat and that they don't do well with things that might disturb it. So now that I don't have any pets, maybe that's an option I can look into again.
Well, and Jenny, if I was shopping for you this holiday season, I might consider buying you some very brightly colored pots for your plants.
Charity, I would take any gift from you on any day of the year.
All right, well, noted. Jenny.
All right, well, thanks, guys. I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. I want to share some of Donald Lewis's ideas, entomologist. He did a great job sending suggestions.
From Arizona,
yep, where it's nice and warm. He said that he's got some reference books for insects. So if you love insects, these are for you. The Garden Insects of North America, second edition, just came out.
Yeah, it's a
nice guide
book.
Of insects of the lawn, landscape, and garden with over 700 pages and 3,000 color images.
It's really a nice book.
All right. Golden Guides, Insects, Butterflies, and Moths, both paperback books of these oldies but goodies, he says. So they're nice and inexpensive, but beautiful pictures, very informative. And then other guides, such as from National Geographic and the Audubon Society, are other suggestions. He said books for the gardener or farmer interested in pollinators and pollinator conservation. Mm-hmm. So there are lots of possibilities from the Xerxes Society, attracting native pollinators, farming with native beneficial insects, 100 plants to feed the bees, gardening for butterflies, managing alternative pollinators. And then his other ideas, miscellaneous gifts, locally produced honey.
Great idea.
Yeah. Gifts of insects require delaying gratification. For example, watching small nymphs emerge from a praying mantis egg case is a fun project for May, but you have to keep the egg case cold until spring.
Okay.
Painted lady butterfly kits should be started in mid-summer. And he also said, similarly, an ant display. Apparently, we can't use the term ant farm.
Oh, we still call it an
right,
ant farm.
Right. Is a great project, but the harvester ants used in the enclosures can't be shipped until spring. So maybe... maybe those are great spring presents, but lots of great books. And I know for gardeners as well, lots and lots of great books out there with beautiful pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fun to do some garden dreaming in the deep, dark winter months. let's get back to the phones. Mary is on the line. Hi, Mary.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
Well, I had the chance to buy down at the Villages of Van Buren celebration this fall 80 naked lady or surprise lily bulbs.
Oh, nice.
And 80 of them. And I didn't get the chance to get them stuck in the ground this fall. So I'm storing them, and I have them in an open tray that's perforated in our cool attached garage. But I know that I probably want to put them in some sort of medium. What is the protocol for these? I've been online looking, and I haven't been able to find anything.
Is there any way you can plant them this weekend? Because they will do so much better if you can actually plant them.
Because they don't do well long-term as far as storage. You can store them for a short time, but storing them until spring, I think, is going to be probably not very viable.
And then the naked ladies are really tough and durable, but they're not one of the better bulbs to force into bloom, even in containers.
So I would think about maybe neighbors, friends, whatever, and see if they want
Christmas
some.
It's a Christmas gift.
And get them in the ground this weekend if you can.
Early Christmas gift.
Yeah, because long-term storage, I think what they're prone to do long-term would be eventually dry out and shrivel and die, unfortunately. So...
okay.
I would definitely try to get them in the ground.
I will do it on top of everything else. At least
sorry to add to the list. But it's a worthy keeper.
A month ago.
Right, but I'm glad you called today because there's still a good shot.
Oh, you bet. Oh, and so is there any trick when I plant these bulbs? Do you suggest anything 4 inches deep or
typically
shallow?
Typically 4 to 6 inches deep.
And pointed side up.
Yeah, and if you can't, if you can't find someone that wants them, I would go ahead and plant them all. And then if you need to, you can dig them up late next fall and give them away.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and get my drill out that attach, or my tool that attaches to my husband's drill and start punching holes before things freeze up. So we're going to dig horseradish this weekend too. So
have fun.
Hey, thank you so much. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Love your show.
Thanks
Take
a
care.
Lot.
Bye.
Kimberly's up next, somewhere on I-80. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi. We're on our way moving from Colorado. We're actually closing on a house in West Des Moines today, and I wanted to know, is there anything that we could plant, like a shrub, lilacs, something like that this weekend that would bloom in the spring?
Boy, I would be inclined not to. It's so late in the year that it is so late that we could have a blizzard by next weekend. It's going to be nice this
That's
weekend.
Right.
It's so changeable right now that they really wouldn't have any chance to get reestablished before that event. So I would be inclined just to wait.
But if she plants lilacs really early in the spring, she could still get blooms in the spring, right?
She could.
Right. They could have some blooms already. You can buy them in containers blooming.
Right.
Great. Okay. We'll
and
do that.
Welcome to
Thank
Iowa,
you so
Kimberly.
Much.
Yeah. Thanks a lot
I know,
for your
so
call.
Excited.
Well,
Thank
we're
you.
Happy to
Bye-bye.
Have you. Bye. Michael's up next in Iowa City. Hi, Michael.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
I was wondering, I have some really large, really old black walnut trees in my front yard that are beautiful, but I can't grow a lot of other things in my front yard because of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about container gardens, but I was wondering if I have to be worried about things falling above onto the garden, like the walnuts and the leaves and stuff. Will those have toxins that would not be good for container beds?
Well, the actual compound juglone is present in the entire plant. So it's present in the roots. It's present in the bark. It's present in the woody tissue. It's even present in the foliage. And so when it rains, some of that dripping down from the foliage may contain some of that material. I would think it would be a very small amount. I'm mainly concerned about plants in the ground because you have all these roots. They produce a lot of material. You have this dripping down from the foliage. So it tends to be fairly concentrated in the soil, but I wouldn't think it would be that much simply from the actual dripping from the leaves.
All right, so container garden is a good idea.
But you need to buy plants that are shade tolerant.
All right. Well, Michael, thank you so much for your call. Here's a question from Becca. We moved into a new house in April on a few acres in Des Moines, and the back end of the land has a creek that regularly floods in the spring. The area right by the creek is a dense forest, but a lot of the trees are falling over. They have excessive mushrooms growing on them now, or fungi. We also have found carpenter ants back there. Are there better trees or plants to put in place of the trees we've lost? I don't know what type of trees they are, but we want to keep that dense forest look if possible.
I would probably plant things that are typically found in a floodplain. Willows would be very, very commonly found.
Sycamores,
silver maples, that type of thing, which you commonly find near river. River birch would be fine, too.
All right. So as long as they're tolerant of wet feet, it's a good place for them. All right. Well, thank you both for all of your great suggestions and all of your information all year long.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
You too.
Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, and Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. We will be back with Horticulture Day again on January 5th. And of course, we go every other week through the winter months. We'll be back to weekly Horticulture Day programs in March. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.